To God's elect, strangers in the world, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Amen. If we look back to verse 18 of this second chapter of 1 Peter, just before the words of our reading today, we see that Peter is addressing this text specifically or primarily to slaves, calling on them to submit to their earthly masters, even to submit to masters who are quite harsh and unjust. This is what Peter writes in that verse. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. Obviously, slavery is a life situation that none of us here today, thank God, can relate to. None of us are in a situation where we might be beaten as punishment, whether justly or unjustly. But the word beating in this reading got me thinking back to my childhood. No, not that I literally received beatings from my parents, but in a household with four rowdy boys growing up, spankings were a not uncommon form of punishment. Also in a household of four rowdy boys, with all of whom had sinful natures, it wasn't always the easiest for mom and dad to make judgments about who deserved the spanking in each and every situation. In some instances, it was probably all parties involved who deserved the spanking. But in some cases, as I recall anyway, there were times when I received a spanking unjustly for something that I didn't really do. Oh, how I would complain and appeal, but rarely did my complaints do any good. Maybe you can think about similar scenarios from your own childhood, whether at home or at school, or maybe you've received some unjust scrutiny or punishment at work, perhaps suffering consequences for something that someone else did. What was your reaction in those cases? Did you take that punishment or that rebuke with a smile? Or did you try to argue your case and to prove your innocence? Well, no one enjoys suffering. But suffering unjustly is even harder to take. But on this Good Shepherd Sunday, our reading from 1 Peter would have us follow in the footsteps of our great Good Shepherd. Well, that's both good news and bad news for us. The bad news is in these words: leaving you an example so that you would follow in his steps, he did not commit a sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. That sounds nice, but I've tried that before and it didn't work out so well. It is God's will that we commit no sin and that no deceit be found in our mouths. For this is favorable, if a person endures sorrow while suffering unjustly because he is conscious of God. But like our example of ourselves as little children, sometimes we may indeed have done nothing wrong and have been punished unjustly, but more often than not, we did indeed deserve the punishment that we received. So today, as adults, the words from Peter lead us to ponder and to confess our sins. For what credit is it to you if you receive a beating for sinning and patiently endure it? No, dear God, that is not to my credit. Rather, that is to my shame. I have not followed in the pattern of your Son by leading a sinless life as you desire. So often in my life, I have suffered because of my sins. Dear God, forgive me. The wonderful thing that we see in this reading is that when God calls us to follow in the steps of Christ, he also gives us the power to do so. He gives us the power through the very things that Jesus did and that he suffered on our behalf. First, he did not commit a sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. This describes what we call the active obedience of Jesus for our salvation. Jesus lived his whole life on this earth without sin. He obeyed all of God's commandments perfectly. From the time he was a little child all the way up to the time of his death, he never once committed a single sin, not in action, not in word, not even in his thoughts. Even when he was being beaten and tortured and put to death, he did not think hateful thoughts about those who were unjustly treating him in that way. Instead, his heart was filled with love for them. And rather than calling down curses on them from heaven, instead he asked the Heavenly Father to forgive them. God tells us in his word that that perfect, active obedience of Jesus is now miraculously credited to us as our own righteousness in God's sight. So that now when God looks at us, he doesn't see any of our sins, but he only sees the perfect life of Jesus. What amazing grace that is. And then Peter goes on to describe what we call the passive obedience of Jesus for our salvation. When he was insulted, he did not insult in return. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself carried our sins in his body on the tree so that we would be dead to sin and alive to righteousness. By his wounds, you were healed. Even though Jesus had no sin of his own, he willingly suffered abuse and death, the punishment for a criminal. He willingly did that because death was the punishment that God demanded for sin. And Jesus loved us so much that he was not willing to allow us to undergo that punishment ourselves, to suffer the eternal punishment of hell for our sins. So Jesus substituted himself for us, and he took upon himself on the cross the punishment that we deserved for our sins. He was completely abandoned and cut off from the love of God the Father there on the cross, suffering the very punishment of hell itself. By his wounds, we have been healed. All of our guilt has been taken away. All of our sins have been paid for. Even though we may still receive punishment from earthly authorities as a result of some of the sins or the wrong things that we do, we know that the spiritual punishment, the payment for our sins, has already been paid in full by Jesus. And even if an earthly authority may accuse and convict us as guilty, we know that Jesus has already paid for that sin, and we stand holy and righteous in God's sight. This, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is what gives us the power and the motivation to fight against temptation and sin in our lives. We see how greatly Jesus loved us, that he gave up his own innocent life to save us, his sheep, to save us, guilty sinners. So we are filled with joy and thanksgiving, filled with love for him, and we want to express that thanksgiving and love by our actions and our words and our thoughts. Even though we still have the sinful nature living inside of us, we also have the new man of faith in Jesus. That new man wants to live according to God's will. And we have God's Spirit living inside of us that empowers us to do just that. Can you picture yourself in the situation that Stephen was in, whom we read about in our first lesson today? He had done nothing wrong by God's standards, at least not in this situation. The crime that he was accused of was simply of telling the good news of Jesus, which those religious leaders of the Jewish people did not want to be told because they were jealous of the following that Jesus was receiving. Even though Stephen knew that it could mean his death, he continued to spread that good news of salvation through Jesus and did so in public. And we see the results that Stephen faced. He was put on trial, and then he was taken out outside the city and stoned to death, all for the crime of simply telling others about Jesus. How would you have reacted in that situation? Do you think you would have been able to say, as Stephen did, as he was being stoned to death, nearing the end of his very life, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them"? I imagine that if it were me, my heart would be full of anger at the unjust treatment I was receiving, at being unjustly persecuted and put to death, even though I was innocent of any real crime. But Stephen saw how Jesus loved him and loved all people when he died on the cross. While Jesus was hanging there on the cross, he called out, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And so Stephen, who had now been returned to the shepherd and overseer of his soul, calls out in that same pattern of mercy and compassion, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." May God give us that same grace and that same strength, no matter what trouble we are facing, to always remember God and his love for us, that he has forgiven all of our sins, even though we did not deserve it. And may we treat others in that same way, even when facing persecution. Jesus made a rather striking promise to his disciples. He told them, "In this world, you will have trouble. In this world, you will have trouble." But then he said, "But take heart, I have overcome the world." So we know that no matter what we face in life, Jesus has won the victory. He has risen from the dead. He has forgiven all of our sins, and he has prepared eternal life for us. So by his grace, we can bear up under all suffering and have the same attitude that Jesus did and that Stephen did following after him. We are simply following in the footsteps of our great Good Shepherd when we bear up under unjust punishment and suffering, and we ask God to forgive them and not to hold their sins against them, just as he has forgiven us. Amen. Please stand. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.